Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, in a few minutes, we'll speak to City Council Speaker Christine Quinn and former Congressman Bruce Morrison to look at what new immigrants can learn from the Irish immigrant community. But first, that announcement we've been telling you about. That music is one clue, as is the title of our first guest this morning. He is Neil O'Dowd, the editor and publisher of The Irish Voice and a prominent figure in the Irish American community here. Remember, I said we would have an announcement of a proposal to abolish a major New York City event. Neil, welcome back to WNYC. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
And what are you here to announce?
Well, I'm here to announce, first of all, the U.S.-Ireland Forum, which will be held at the Affinia Hotel in Manhattan on tomorrow and Thursday. And it's a groundbreaking day and a half of discussions, presentations, and interviews on topics which are vital to the Irish-American.
Yeah. What are you really here to announce?
Well, actually, what I want to announce and push for is I believe that for too long Irish America is identified by a bogus and a trivial culture, by green beer and leprechauns and stuff like that, and we need a different St. Patrick's Day. And I think we need to start with our parade here in New York, which has become just a source of such contention and problems over the years. And I think what we should do this year is that we should break the barrier. We should invite the Reverend Ian Paisley and Martin McInnes, the two men who lead the power-sharing government in Northern Ireland, and they should lead the parade up Fifth Avenue next March 17th to symbolise the new era of hope in Northern Ireland and the approval that Irish America has for that peace process over there.
I see. Now, I'm hearing this for the first time. So it's not that you want to abolish the St. Patrick's Day parade per se, altogether. You want to abolish the St. Patrick's Day parade as we have known it in New York.
Absolutely. I think times have moved on dramatically in Ireland and in Irish America. What we've got at the moment for the last 10, 15 years is we're stuck in this continuous debate and fight over the nature of the parade. And what I want to do
over whether gay people can march under their banner, basically.
Yes, whether gay people can march under the banner or who's entitled to march in the parade and who's not. And why don't we make it a great symbol of the new hope that's coming from Ireland? And one of the things that would do that would be to take a figure like Ian Paisley, a hugely controversial figure, a Protestant leader in Northern Ireland who was opposed for many, many years to any deal with the nationalist population there, who has now crossed the Rubicon, seen the light, and become a leading figure in the whole reconciliation area, which is so important in Northern Ireland now that we have a power-sharing government there. And what I'm proposing is that he and Martin McGuinness, who is one of the leaders of Sinn Féin, who is now the first deputy minister in Northern Ireland, that they could march up Fifth Avenue and show the world and show America just what Irish unity can mean. It doesn't have to mean bombs and bullets. It doesn't have to mean disputes over parades. It has to mean that two adversarial men who have spent their whole lives fighting each other now can share a government together. I think it would be a massive message to the world and a wonderful message for New York to send.
So Irish Americans, give us a call, post to our comments page. What do you think? Should the Hibernians lose control of the St. Patrick's Day parade, which is obviously what this would come down to? And should it become really a celebration of Ireland's future rather than a celebration of Irish heritage, I guess, rather than being past-focused, making it future-focused? Neil O'Dowd, editor and publisher of The Irish Voice, 212-433-WNYC. We'll take calls from Irish Americans right now, 212-433-9692, or post to our comments page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Did I put that well? Is it that you want to change the focus from the past to the future?
Well, you know what's very interesting here, and this is something that has just happened in the last week. The national president of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, the group that runs the parade, has made a major speech saying that the old ways have to pass, that the concentration that the parade and every other Irish-American activity had on the situation in Northern Ireland now has to switch, that we have to deal with the new situation on the ground there, and that the AOH, as well as every other Irish organization, has to look at this whole situation anew. And one of the ways that I believe that they could do that is to take the issue of the parade and make it a worldwide symbol of what has been accomplished in Ireland, send it as a signal to the world that anywhere where you have allegedly troubled spots that no solution can ever be found, well, you need to just look to Ireland. And the dramatic entrance of Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness onto Fifth Avenue, marching up Fifth Avenue together, would be very, very dramatic, in my opinion.
So would this mean no green beer?
I would hope not. You know, I mean, it's great to have green beer and it's great to have the fun and as we say in Ireland, the crack, Brian. But ultimately, the parade should be about something else too. And Irish America should be about something else. And this is one of the things that the US Ireland Forum is discussing tomorrow. We have some great speakers. We have Pete Hamill. We have Christine Quinn, who I know is on with you.
Speaker Quinn, Speaker of the New York City Council, will be here to talk about this with you in a couple of minutes.
And we actually have Michael Flatley, who actually is, I think, going to make some very interesting remarks about.
The green beer and the sentiments that that inspire it would fade away on their own. But this also would mean that gays would be allowed to march under their own banner, I presume. So it would also resolve that conflict to that side's favor.
Well, no, I think what would happen is that you would just have a whole redefinition of what the parade should be. It should be a celebration. It shouldn't be about keeping people out. It shouldn't be about a narrow vision back, you know, from the 1900s of what Ireland was once. What the parade is a celebration of Irish-American culture, the incredible progress that our community has made. But the days when the parade needed to be in a defensive crouch about their heritage is long gone, and they need to realize that. I mean, if you look back to the very first parade in the history of New York, it was Protestant Irishmen who marched as part of George Washington's army, and that's a fact that is conveniently forgotten. Right now, you can't be a Protestant and be Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York, which I think is a dreadful thing in and of itself. Because when you look at the contributions, say, of non-Catholics like Senator George Mitchell, who lived in Northern Ireland for 5 years, brokering a peace deal there. It was an incredible accomplishment, and yet we can't acknowledge him in one of the most famous parades in the world.
All right, let's bring in New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn and put her right on the spot. Her election was heralded, you may remember, not only for being the first gay speaker of the council, but also the first Irish American, although I guess Paul O'Dwyer held an equivalent position many moons ago. Councilwoman Speaker Quinn, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So how much of Neil O'Dowd's proposal have you been able to hear over these last few minutes for reinventing the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and what do you think of it?
Well, I think I heard everything he just said on the show while I was listening. I think it's an idea that is absolutely, you know, worth exploring. I mean, the truth is the parade is stuck, and it's stuck and mired in a controversy that takes away from what the parade has been and what the parade could be. That controversy is in large part around LGBT Irish groups, but truth is every year it seems like there's a new controversy. You know, whether the New Orleans Fire Department should march, who unfurled a banner, who didn't unfurl a banner, and in all of this, on some level, silliness that takes away from messages that could really be empowering and unifying. You know, and I think what was just said, the most important part of the proposal is really the point that Ireland in the North has made a massive step forward. People who for, you know, centuries were in different camp, people who for decades were enemies, are sitting at a table together as we speak, building a government to make the life of people in the north of Ireland better.
As a model for the conflicts in the rest of the world, really, because this was seen as so intractable at one time.
If that can happen, we can't figure out a parade? Like, that's a little crazy.
Let's take a phone call. Eileen in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, it's great to be on. I'm from Yonkers now, but I have to say I'm a Bronx Irish Catholic girl from way back.
All right.
My mother was born in Galway. I wanted to say I was electrified by Neil O'Dowd's comments. I think it's a brilliant idea. I was in Ireland this summer visiting. I've been to the north for the first time this summer, and I was absolutely shocked to see how much division still exists. I was expecting it to be, well, just another little, you know, happy tour of Derry, Londonderry, or Derry, as we call it in Belfast, but it's not. There's still a tremendous amount of division between people, and anything that brings attention to that and brings a positive energy toward healing that rift is very, very positive, I think.
Eileen, thank you very much. Let's go to Frank in Brooklyn, who I think has a different view. Hi, Frank. You're on WNYC.
Hello. I'm from Brooklyn. Yeah, I'm an Irish-American. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I think it should remain focused the way it is. It's inappropriate for new groups to, like, try to piggyback the Irish-American tradition and, like, change it all around. It's like, just let it, it's, you know, it's a celebration of Irish-Americans. Let them do their thing.
But aren't Martin McGuinness and Ian Paisley Irish people? I mean, they're not changing anything. What Neil is saying is that we should find a way to herald what these two men have done and try to move the parade to a place of unity and forward motion.
And actually, there is a precedent. The former Irish Prime Minister, Albert Reynolds, who negotiated the first IRA ceasefire, was made the Grand Marshal of the parade back in 1996, I believe, or perhaps a little bit later. But, you know, there we took someone from Ireland who had done an amazing job helping bring the peace about. Now that we have that peace, why shouldn't New York and the Irish in New York send a message to the entire world? And the message up to now, unfortunately, on that parade has been division, bitter, nasty, internal bickering. And what we need to do is send a message worldwide that, and only New York can do that, that here we are acknowledging something quite magnificent that has happened in Ireland in the last year.
Now, let me say, in the spirit of Election Day, that we have an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific poll underway on our call-in board, where out of the 10 people who are holding on right now, I think 8 support the idea, and most of them are just gaga about it. But I'm going to take another one who opposes it for the sake of this conversation, and that's Andrew in Bridgeport. You're on WNYC. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
What do you think?
Well, you know, first, a couple of years ago, we had Lou Dobbs saying we can't have this parade, and now we got these guys saying we have to change the parade. First of all, I don't think it has anything to do with Ireland. I think it has to do with Irish in America. And I'm 1921, my family came over here. I just don't think we should change it. I don't think that we have to, you know, pander to these groups that just want to come in here and change it. I think that it's good as it is. Let's go on March 17th. Let's go into the city. I take all my Irish friends and non-Irish friends. Let's go into the city. Let's have some fun. Let's learn something. The same way that I go in for, you know, on Halloween for that parade, and I go in the city all the time for parades. And I just think this is our parade. Why can't we just have it? Why do we have to change it?
But isn't it my parade, too? I mean, all four of my grandparents came from Ireland. My grandmother came from Ireland in steerage on the Titanic, one of the only girls in third-class passage who made it out when they tried to lock people in.
No problem.
It's no more your parade than my parade. And
One at a time. Christine, go ahead.
And I think you're right. It's your parade, though I think it's Minister McGuinness's parade as well, and Minister Paisley's parade too, because so much of what Irish New York has been about is about trying to bring peace to the North. But I have to say, although, you know, I understand that this is a tense issue, I think what we have to do is find a way to say Ireland and Irish New York and St. Patrick's Day is about everyone.
All right, let's let Andrew back in. Andrew, go ahead.
Everyone who's Irish.
Andrew, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I really should have said is I have always supported LGBT with marching in the parade. I'm not about that. I'm not saying I don't want to, you know, exclude anyone who's Irish. But I just don't like this idea of having these people from Northern Ireland march alongside. I just don't like that.
That's insane. The whole motto of the parade, the only banner that's allowed to be carried in the parade is England, get out of Ireland. And now that issue has been resolved, is it not time? I mean, the whole parade was set up originally as a defensive mechanism
right.
for Irish people who were suffering.
And now it's time to include the Protestants, etc. Andrew, before you go, what was the Lou Dobbs thing?
Yeah, I didn't know that, Andrew.
Remember 2 years ago
Yes, I remember that.
He said that we shouldn't have the parade, we shouldn't have Columbus Day parade. He said the whole thing about we shouldn't be celebrating our differences, we shouldn't be celebrating from where we're from, you know, Cinco de Mayo, all that stuff. And
we should only have angry old white men marching.
I know, exactly. Well, I'm in agreement with you guys there. Thank you.
Okay, Andrew, thanks. Thanks a lot for your call. And we'll continue in a minute and broaden the conversation to what other immigrant groups can learn from Irish Americans, now that that's a sort of mature immigrant population. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our online video picks for this week are up on our website. Every week we choose five videos from the web that we think you may be interested in, and I anchor them in a picks video. Our online video picks are at WNYC.org. Click on video. You can see other stuff up there, too, like clips of my interviews recently with Ray Kelly and George Carlin and John McCain and some other things. So check out our video collection at WNYC.org. Click on video. Also, we want to incorporate your video picks. Send us a link to a video you think our listeners should see. Email Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. Well, we are speaking with Neil O'Dowd, the editor and publisher of the Irish Voice newspaper, and New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. They've been agreeing on Neil's proposal to abolish the St. Patrick's Day parade as we have known it and make it more of a future-looking thing than a past-looking thing, with peace in Northern Ireland and the formerly contentious leaders of Northern Ireland leading the parade together, also opening up to gays and lesbians and even to floats, which have been banned, believe it or not, and also kind of culturally to get away from the whole green beer mentality, if you know what I mean. But this announcement, Neil, that you're making relates to a larger question even that you're looking at related to the Irish community at large. So talk about it. What's the state of Irish in America in the 21st century? You're holding a conference on the subject tomorrow, as you mentioned earlier. Why are you asking that question now? And why do you see this as an important question even for other communities to learn from with respect to the Irish?
Well, because this is an extraordinary moment in Irish America. We have peace in the north of Ireland. We have an incredible economy in the Irish Republic. We have a level of confidence among Irish Americans now that has never been there. And, you know, the Irish diaspora is 70 million people worldwide, and yet it's a relationship between the Ireland and the Irish diaspora has never really been properly explored and analysed. And that's one of the things we're going to do over the next 2 days at the US-Ireland Forum. And, you know, we have some great speakers, including Christine, who'll be looking at the various issues. That's the upside. On the downside, Brian, we have the same problem that many other communities have, in that we have an undocumented group of Irish who live in the city. We're no longer able to emigrate from Ireland to America because of the current immigration restrictions, and we're in danger of losing basically the building blocks of our community in the future, which is the inflow of immigrants from Ireland, which has been here since well before the time of the famine.
Speaker Quinn, you're taking part in a panel in tomorrow's conference called Communities in Transition. What's the biggest issue for Irish America as they make, as the community makes the transition to a country of so many immigrants, that is, as America makes the transition to a country of so many other immigrant groups?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of different challenges. One is, I think it's really important that we really have a commitment to keeping Irish culture alive in New York City. When I was in Dublin last year, actually for their St. Patrick's Day parade, and I met with the speaker of the National Legislative Body, one of his concerns was that now that there's less folks from Ireland coming to New York, that connection wouldn't be as strong. And they really need that connection to be strong for Ireland in the south to continue to roar and in the north to be able to move forward. And one of the best ways to keep that culture is for us in New York and in this country to have a commitment to developing Irish cultural institutions and Irish educational programs and Irish cultural educational programs. And if you're not, in my opinion, really cognizant of that, you run the risk of Irish culture becoming a caricature of itself, becoming leprechauns and, you know, Irish beer, which, and we want to avoid that to make sure there's a full appreciation and understanding of the depth of what Irish folks have given to New York. One of the ways we're trying to do that in the council is around helping places like the Irish Rep, the Irish Arts Center, helping those places become permanent parts of the cultural infrastructure of New York City.
Let's take another call. Catherine in Rockville Center. You're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Brian. I love the proposal. I think it's fantastic. I was in Northern Ireland this summer and mostly hung out with the nationalists who aren't happy to give up the struggle but are committed to the peace process. And I just think that having a parade that is Catholic-based just represents this ugly past that everyone really wants to leave behind. And I couldn't agree with the last comment more. I think there's so much more to Irish culture, and this represents a really ugly piece of Irish culture, this division between Catholics and Protestants, and the whole parade, the culture of having parades has so much contentiousness over the years. So I love it.
I'd just like to say that it is interesting that even within the Ancient Order of Hibernians, as I said, the national president last week made a very interesting speech,
yes,
to Jack Meehan, where he stated quite directly that the AOH had to change its ways. And I think that's a very interesting starting point for this, that within the AOH there are very decent people who understand fully that particularly this parade has defined them in a very, very negative way. And they understand that too. And I think it's time that, as Christine said, that we open the window a little bit into Irish culture. We need to see the best of Ireland and Irish America. We are not seeing it. Every year we're defined by a parade that is looked at by other people, other communities, as what on earth is going on with the Irish in that parade. It's been going on far too long. And I think we need a major unifying gesture, which I think is what the idea of Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness walking up Fifth Avenue together would be.
Joan in the Bronx thinks she sees a contradiction here. Hi, Joan, you're on WNYC.
Hi, yeah, a total contradiction. The only reason that we got gay rights in Northern Ireland is because we were part of the European community. Ian Paisley has been one of the most stalwart supporters of opposition to gay rights in any shape or form. He led the Ulster campaign against sodomy. So I therefore think it's a total contradiction. The parade needs to be opened up and changed totally, have new culture, have new wonderful events like we do in Dublin. But to bring Ian Paisley, when one of the problems with the parade right now is they don't let gays in.
Yeah.
It's closed, and it's going to stay closed, and Ian Paisley would support that.
Well, I guess, Joan, it's an interesting point. Christine Quinn, do you want to comment on that? Because, funny enough, you got out of the controversy a little bit last year, a major statement during the parade, by marching in Ireland rather than in New York. If we bring Ian Paisley here and he's indeed anti-gay, like the caller says, does that perpetuate?
You know, last year went to Dublin and marched in their parade there and was incredibly welcome. And I think the call is right. There are wonderful festivals and other events in Dublin that are during St. Patrick's Day that are very inclusive of LGBT issues. And obviously, as we move forward, if we move forward, I hope we do, and with Niall's idea, we're going to have to work through some of the details, work through what the history has been, because you can't pretend it didn't happen. It doesn't mean you have to stay stuck in the history, but you can't pretend it didn't happen. We can't pretend there was never discrimination and exclusion. I hope we can work through that. Now, on the same trip where I went to Ireland to purposely march in the parade in Dublin because I wasn't welcome in New York, I also, the Monday after St. Patrick's Day, went to Belfast and met with Dr. Paisley, and met with representatives of Sinn Féin. And I hope and think the day we were there, our presence sending a message to both Dr. Paisley and Sinn Féin that New York wanted to support peace, and that we wanted to be here as a city government to help the North create structures around the economy and housing as they moved forward. I think that message was comforting to both mm-hmm. Sinn Féin and Dr. Paisley feel that they would have governmental friends supporting them in the peace process. Now, I'm never going to tell Dr. Paisley that I think his positions on gay rights are correct. I don't. He knows that, and he knew well who I was when we met that day. But I'm also not going to step
exclude
away from
him.
Responsibility to move the peace
yes.
process forward.
All right. My guest on WNYC, Neil O'Dowd, editor and publisher of The Irish Voice. He also had a role in the Northern Ireland peace process in advising the Clinton administration back when things were really getting going. And he's proposing now to reinvent the St. Patrick's Day parade, make it not so much about green beer and past Irish heritage, but invite these new leaders, Catholic and Protestant of Northern Ireland, to represent Ireland's future, take it away from the Hibernians, allow the gay groups to march under their own banner and just make it a different kind of event. Also with us, Christine Quinn, the Speaker of the New York City Council, gay and Irish as well. And also with us now, one more guest who will be appearing at the conference tomorrow on the future of Irish Americans. He is former Congressman Bruce Morrison, Democrat of Connecticut. And some of you know that he was the creator of the so-called Morrison visas, a special visa lottery a number of years ago for Irish Americans that let a lot of extra Irish Americans into the country, Irish into the country to become Irish Americans, and that idea of a visa lottery has now been expanded to other countries. So, Congressman Morrison, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Glad to be with you. It sounds like you're having a very good discussion.
Thank you. We you know, look back for a minute, because I remember when these Morrison visas were out, and people from other communities were furious that why, you know, were these white Europeans from one particular country over there being given special privileges to get in a special lottery? Go back and remind us of the rationale.
Well, actually, it's important to understand the context. The what had happened in 1986 was that there had been a legalization program for several million people who were in the United States illegally. The Irish who had come starting more in 1984 were ineligible for that for that legalization program. Large numbers of groups from other countries, Asians and Latins and people from other parts of the world, were the main beneficiaries of that program. And so in 1990, two things went on. First of all, the Morrison visas were part of a much larger immigration bill that expanded legal immigration all around the world, not just from Europe and not certainly just from Ireland. And it also tried to redress a problem that went back to 1965, where Ireland and other countries, not just Ireland, had been excluded from the process because of changes in the quota system. And so a lot of people benefited, and in fact, the Irish carried more than their weight in passing that broad legislation in 1990, of which they got a piece in terms of the Morrison visas. And interestingly enough, in the Morrison visa program, the ethnic group that actually got the largest number of visas was not the Irish, but the Polish. If anybody thought it was unfair, they didn't really tote up all the numbers all the way around, nor did they see the extraordinary effort that the Irish community made to pass the overall legislation that helped everybody.
And I should mention that even though I was born in Queens, I personally benefited from your Morrison visa program because the executive producer of this show, Nuala McGovern, got into this country on a Morrison visa, and I am definitely the beneficiary of your politics.
Thank you. All I can tell you is that there were only 48,000 Irish who came that way, but I think I've met every single one of them, so it's been a pleasure for me.
She's got some friends who'd like to talk to you, but oh, never mind. What would you say, Congressman, that other immigrant groups could learn from the lobbying efforts of Irish Americans like yourself?
Well, I don't take a lot of credit for my lobbying efforts. I've really always worked with grassroots groups, and frankly, the biggest credit for doing things has been the breadth of participation in the Irish American community. Back in the 1980s, when the Irish immigration reform movement was created that supported the Morrison visa program, it was one of the best experiences in Irish America of linking groups together that oftentimes were squabbling with each other. They all came together, and that's certainly true of the effort that's going on now. And if there's a lesson, and I think other groups can also teach lessons to the Irish, I think that if there's a lesson of the Irish experience, is it's try to get everybody in your community together and be very focused, and also, you know, be realistic about what you can achieve. Sometimes it's not the ideal that everybody would like, mm-hmm. but it is a solution.
And I should mention, as a public service, and for anybody from any immigrant community who happens to be listening, that the current diversity visa lottery, which applies to many countries, is open until December 2nd. So if you didn't know that, and you know people back home or people here who don't have the status that they would like to have, who want to apply for the diversity visa, that process is open right now until December 2nd. Just thought you'd like to know. Speaker Quinn, let me come back to you on the immigration issue that's really roiling New York State right now, and that, of course, is Governor Spitzer's proposal to let illegal immigrants get a category of driver's licenses. Do you have a position on Spitzer's plan?
I do. I came out, I guess, a week or so after his original plan came out, and said that I supported it, which I still support his original proposal. You know, when his original proposal came out, there was obviously a lot of concerns voiced by security experts. There were also some security experts out there who were supportive of the governor's plan. So I, you know, encouraged folks to kind of try to talk to each other, take the rhetoric down a little bit, and find a way to address these security concerns. But I do think that the governor's original proposal was one that could have brought people in from the shadows, so to speak, and maybe taken steps forward that would have made our roads safer.
Neil O'Dowd, I'll bet most Irish Americans oppose that idea.
Actually, in the community, it was actually very popular because nearly everyone knows someone who's undocumented.
Yeah.
And it can come down to things like, you know, bringing your kid to school, you can't drive, or your husband having, you know, not able to get to work because he's a construction worker. I mean, it's just a practical plan that Governor Spitzer put forward, and it was welcomed in the Irish community very much because he was dealing with something that, unfortunately, all the rhetoric is you know, put up a notch when things like this are done. But the reality is that it's a much safer world if people who are driving are insured, if Americans know who's in their country, and if there's an identity document that everybody has. I mean, that would seem a very practical thing for me.
Let me throw in a breaking news story real quick, just that the Attorney General nominee, Mukasey, has been confirmed by the Senate Judiciary Committee. That was considered likely today, but somewhat in doubt after Kennedy and Leahy and some others came out against him because of the torture issue. But Mukasey affirmed by the Senate Judiciary Committee, led in that confirmation, or at least that approval at the committee level, by New York's Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer. Congressman Morrison, before you go, I don't know, you know, you're out of Congress now and you're not in New York State anyway. But looking in from the sidelines, what do you think about this debate in New York? It's funny to me, looking at New York State, it's been almost like in a bubble in terms of acceptance of diversity and all kinds of immigrants compared to the rest of the country, where I think it's a much more contentious issue. Maybe places that are closer to Mexico and just have different effects of massive immigration than New York does. But it seems to me that the opposition here, even among many Democrats, says, look, we will look the other way and be okay with it, but we will not give illegal immigrants an official document that legitimizes them in the United States beyond the security issue. What do you think as you look at this?
Well, the first thing I say is the fact that so many people are in the country against the rules is a serious problem, and it has to be solved. Anyone who thinks this is a tolerable arrangement, you know, would be wrong, and obviously the public looks first at that problem and says, why do we have a government that can't get it right, either admit the people that we need and exclude the people that aren't supposed to be here? And there's a lot to be done in that regard on both sides in terms of making sure that we have a system that admits the people we need and also then excludes the people who are not invited. With respect to the driver's license, interesting, I think that where the governor ended up after some consideration is actually where he should have started. This program of giving a driver's license that doesn't qualify for some other purposes like an identity document to get on airplanes is something that is called the Utah plan, and it was invented in Utah, which is hardly a hotbed of liberalism, for the practical reason that people can't get insurance to drive if they don't have licenses. And the last thing Americans want is people on the road who are neither licensed nor insured.
And you know what? That has to be the last word for today. Obviously, this discussion continues. Very interesting proposal, getting a lot of support in our unofficial, informal, thoroughly unscientific poll from our callers and commenters. You can keep commenting on WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see the lively comments page on this. Bruce Morrison, Neil O'Dowd, Christine Quinn, thank you all for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. We reimagine the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Now we will reimagine the streets of your neighborhood with New York City Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadiq Khan and others. Stay with us.